Oh, I don't know, but I can't.
It's the creepiest thing in the world. It's so freaking creepy.
Well, you know that
What's it
I'm, it's
called?
misophonia is when you, when every sound is like very irritating to you, which I think I have that.
Am I irritating your knee? Is that what you're trying to tell me? To shut my fat pie hole? That's okay. I've been told that
Can you just
before.
be quiet
Do you
while I
mind?
record this podcast?
Welcome to your mom.
Your mom podcast.
Your mom's podcast.
This isn't any podcast. This is your mother's podcast.
My mom's podcast.
Nah, dude, she's your mom.
With Ashley Addison and Lisa McCaffrey.
Your mom is a podcast.
Shut up, dude.
Okay, three, two. Welcome to your mom.
Your mom's a bitch. Your mom's not. You just, I was trying to think of your mom joke. That's okay.
Good one. Good.
That's really,
one. Yeah. I thought we had just talked about doing this podcast as like this really lovely. Yeah. We were going to use our
relaxing,
our relaxing voices.
This is a peaceful
our golf voices.
Episode.
Yeah.
Very peaceful.
And then you
your
come
mom's
at me with your mom's a bitch. Okay. Well, it's nice to see you too.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, or welcome back to the podcast. If you're just finding us, we're so glad you're here. And guess what? We're together.
This is amazing.
This is amazing.
Can you
we're
feel the energy?
Sitting in my my dining room,
yep.
Raining,
pouring,
windy.
Cold.
It is ugly outside here in San Francisco, but it's warm and toasty inside, and we've got a lot of good snacks.
And that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters. Glad you're with us. Oh, Ashley
welcome.
Adamson.
Lisa McCaffrey,
mm-hmm.
moms,
yep. Mom, we're moms,
moms,
and we are
sweaty
people
moms.
Too.
Yeah, and we count. Darn it!
And the reason I wanted to start this off, I should say, with like you know a very soft, soothing, nice
peaceful.
Feel, is because I was talking to a dear mom friend of mine, Marissa. Shout out to you.
Hi, Marissa.
Who said, and she's a badass lawyer. She's got two kids who are a little bit older than mine. So we get all their great hand-me-downs. I love her. But she does a lot of her work at night after the kids go to bed. And she said that she listens to our podcast as she falls asleep. And I thought, well,
love
you
it.
Must not be getting very good sleep, Marissa.
Marissa, you're not a bitch.
Marissa, we're going to, do you want to sing her a song?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe?
Mm-hmm. I used to do that with my kids.
You used to, okay. What was your go-to bedtime song?
I had a plethora, but I just, pretty much the staple I'd say was a good old-fashioned Twinkle Twinkle.
Oh, okay.
Do you do that? Do you ever sing to your kids? Or do you, just, you Instagram it if you do?
Exactly.
You put the camera
right.
and the audio and you
with
sing.
With the mic, and we have a karaoke machine that I usually will drag into their room just to, you know, I want to speak, I
want to
be
want
soothing.
You want it to look good on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
I want my
year.
Voice to sound good. On Instagram. Yeah, on the audio. Exactly. You can do it's amazing what you can do these days with a mic. But yeah, I would say that I would sing to my kids. And as we were talking about this, I realized I don't sing to them anymore. And they're 6 and 3. I should still be singing to them, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
they're not teenagers.
Both
they're not grown up.
Know the words to Angel. So you guys, everyone here that has listened to this podcast knows my affinity and love for Bonnie Raitt that I got passed down through my mom. So I used to sing Angel from Montgomery. And they know every word to, you know, I
wow.
am an old woman named after my mother. Oh, we'll sing at the end so
wow.
we don't scare away any of our new listeners or customers.
Yeah, right.
But they know every single word
that's pretty
to
impressive.
Angel from Montgomery, and it's a really good one. So I would say that Marissa, just hold on, and we'll sing to you at the end to be able to put you to sleep. But I really give you a lot of credit that the last voice that you hear oftentimes before you go to bed, sorry, Corey, your husband, is ours. But it was very flattering.
It
was very, she said that to
it.
Me at a birthday party, and
that's
I felt
amazing.
Really good about it.
My
so.
Kids learned the words to Eminem Without Me. That was one of their first songs that
oh.
they knew. So it's the same.
It's very similar. And
similar,
that was because that was the one that you sang similar. To them.
Right.
You were very into music. I will say, I have found that out about you the last 9 months of doing this podcast with you, that you know, there is a song for everything.
There really is, if
there
you
is.
Think about it. And
yeah.
there's usually a line in there or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, Ed listens to the music of the music, and I listen to the words of the music. And
the
I
lyrics.
Think, yeah, the lyrics, exactly. Words.
But
lyrics.
You know what I was, yeah, I guess lyrics is a fancy word for words.
Congratulations, you're amazing.
I was an English major. But do you want to know what's interesting about words?
Wow.
I never understood, like, and my family can attest to this, I am so bad. What I think a lyric is never
you sing it wrong.
What I sing,
like, cool water, cuckoo water.
Yeah.
The Who song. That's right. Not what it says.
Well, I don't know what any, I literally don't know any lyrics.
Oh.
So
it says, who are you? Who are you?
Okay. Yeah. That one I think I know.
Yeah. Someone thought it was cool water.
She's got anyway. Betty Davis eyes.
Oh yeah.
I always thought was she's got better table sides. And I was like jamming out, singing it. And my brother looked at me like, you're a freaking idiot, yeah. Which I am. Stand By Me.
Yeah.
I thought was Spin Bobby.
Stop.
Spin Bobby. Spin Bobby. Listen to it.
Do you have trouble? Like, do you have stuff in your ear? You got.
I must.
Do you mean to, you might not.
I must. I've got some stuff I need to clean out in my brain, I think. So in any event, lyrics are not my main thing. I think I'm more of a. But a song can be whatever you want.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
In any event, bedtime routines are probably a whole podcast that we could do.
Yeah.
Was there a key that you had to getting your boys down?
I remember it just being torturous. And I would just sit there and pray they'd go to bed too. Because then it could be like mommy's time for 30 minutes or so.
Every night.
And it's really hard. And you just want the little bit of time to yourself. Because you're tired too.
Yep.
Please go to bed. And it was such a struggle for years.
Yeah.
Max was the absolute worst sleeper on the planet, but it was because of us.
Yeah.
Horrible parents. Like we were actually living with these people and he would wake up and like cry a little bit.
When most of the time, immediately.
I would shove a bottle in his face or a boob in his face and immediately. And so he got used to waking up like at least every 2 hours. It was awful. I don't think I slept for like 7 years. So.
Yeah. No, yeah. I do think, and some kids are just good sleepers, but I think a lot of it is what you allow them to figure out on their own.
Exactly. Yeah. Luke was a great sleeper because he had to be.
Right. That's true.
By then you
and even if
to
you
do
heard
it.
Him, you couldn't even, yeah, it didn't matter.
Like, it didn't, yeah. I still.
It's just white noise at that point.
I think I picked him up a few times. So.
The one thing I will say about a bedtime routine that has been sometimes helpful, but because it's at least just a recognition of what's going on in your brain. There was a woman who I was listening to, and she said that if we actually just step back and realize that like bedtime can be either the biggest nightmare, which I think for a lot of parents, they know that and feel that because you're exhausted and you're trying to just have that moment where it's like, so when the house is quiet and they're asleep, it's like this most beautiful moment. Yeah. But she said it can either be a total nightmare because you're waiting to get to that moment, or it can be this really sacred time with your kids because every other moment of the day is this crazy rush to get through whatever it is, you know, get them to school, get them fed,
practices,
get them back, get them to practice. Yeah. And she was like, and bedtime, that is like the safe space where your kids get to be with you. And if you're trying to think about all the stuff that you have to do after you put them to bed, which we all are,
of course, yeah,
then it turns it into the opposite of what that like space is. Now, when they get out of bed for the 17th time,
yeah, exactly,
that doesn't feel like a sacred
so
space
sacred,
to me.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's not the.
I'm gonna put a lock on your door. We had a baby gate on Collins. We had to put a baby gate up because he was coming out of his room. It was a whole thing. So yeah, I will say once
normal.
Sometimes when I realize though, I'm like, I'm rushing through this and I'm stressed because I want what's next. And they feel that.
And they feed exactly.
Yeah.
They completely feed on them.
So when I lay down with them, now I try to lay down with them and it helps, but I'm going to start singing to them.
Yeah. I used to lay in bed with them and I'd fall asleep half the time too. But I remember just laying in bed with them. Oh, and I remember like Max was about to go to sleep and then I'd put Christian in his crib and I would just move like a little bit at a time so that I wouldn't jar him to get him to wake him up. Cause I'd have to rock him to sleep and then put him in the crib. And I just remember I was like Houdini.
And you
like,
were trying so hard. Yeah. And then they'd be like, you'd be so tense.
Yeah. And I'd crawl out of there just quietly as I could.
The baby. Or what about when we had to have a sign on our front door, when people would ring the doorbell or knock really loudly while a kid would be napping, it would send me into, and we had a dog, you know, our dog Reese, who I love and miss dearly, but she would, anytime the doorbell rang, she would bark like crazy. And so it was just this, like the dog stress on top of the like, oh, don't wake that baby.
Yeah. Good times.
Good times. But good times. Just know, you'll get through it.
It's a beautiful time. It's a sacred, peaceful time.
Just remember that it's sacred in these moments. But you probably wish that you could still sing your boy. Do you still sing your boys to sleep?
When they're home, I like tuck them in, put them to bed, sing,
give them
bring
bottle.
Them a bottle, yeah, change their diaper. No.
Do you think they remember? Your
songs? Well, I texted them when we were like talking about bedtime or something. I used to sing to them. Oh my gosh, all the time, nursery rhymes, because my grandmother used to do that to me. And I asked if they remember, and they're like, no, why? Every one of them. Beautiful text right back. No, why?
Okay, so forget everything we just said. Yeah. Your kids aren't going to remember it anyways. Forget about it. It's not sacred. Go put them in their bed, put a baby gate up and have a glass of wine.
Lock the door from the outside and go to bed. Go do what you
want. That's your takeaway. Bam. From this. You're welcome. We have a couple of things to follow up on before we sing Marissa a goodnight lullaby, which is number one, we put out a poll whether or not you kind of caught me off guard as we were getting ready to finish up the podcast. You can see that. Totally, you can see my face. Shocked. I'm like writing these notes about what remembering to say this. And you say, is golf a sport?
Do you think golf's a sport?
What's that?
Do you think golf's a sport?
In its own way.
That's not the answer. Yes or no question.
Your take was, in case you missed it, that no, golf is not a sport.
Okay, let's not be that strong and put words in my mouth.
Okay. We can replay the tape if we need to. Like we're going to insert the.
I'm leaning towards it being more of a hobby than a sport. It's what athletes usually do when they retire. I said I'm leaning towards no, but I've reconsidered. I don't think it's a sport if you use a golf cart.
Okay.
That's what I came to the conclusion because I put a poll out there on Instagram and there were some people that were a little bit angry. They're like, it's definitely a sport. Yeah. Blah, blah. I'm like, okay, whoa, sure. Easy.
Yeah.
But 73% thought it was a sport.
Okay.
And so not a full 100 though. I mean, there was still 20, because you voted probably people, 27 people or percent said, no, no, it's not a sport. So I figured I would compromise in my thinking, say, yes, it's a sport, but I think that's what really does throw me off are the golf carts.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't use a golf cart if you're really going to play it as a sport.
I love the leisure of it. That is a good differentiation.
Yeah.
And, okay. And you did say professional golfers, admire the heck out of
could
them.
Could never do what they do.
And the mental part of being a golfer is insane. Absolutely insane. Because you can do, it's like anytime. I mean, do you golf?
No.
Do you ever golf? Okay.
It's too slow for me. I know we live on a golf course and everything. I would do it if you could hit and then run and do it fast and then hit and run. It's just, I know one day I might get into it. Like a lot of my friends are starting to get into it, but I'm not into it. I run, get my workout in, and then I'm done.
You're ready for the next thing.
For, yeah.
Sometimes. I have not really played since I had kids. Cause when do you have four or five hours to just go hang out on the golf course? Mm-hmm. So I would say my 2 cents on this is, yes, I agree that when I think about golf, it's like riding in a golf cart and drinking. Mm-hmm. Like it's, right. I'm drinking you and there's, John Daly. You know, yep. Uh-huh. Exactly.
He's a professional.
Professional. But the thing about golf that I will say that is critical to this is actually, I think, a parenting tip. I don't know if people come here for parenting tips or not. I'm assuming they stopped doing that a long time ago.
I just want to hear how drunk you are. Yeah. Really?
That's
another poll I'm taking.
It is, especially for women, such a critical game to be able to play because it brings you to different opportunities professionally. And I say that because when I first started off, I kind of knew, we'd played golf a little bit growing up. I knew how to play, but wasn't good. When I started working in local news in Syracuse and Albany and Indianapolis, there are all of these charity fundraisers, golf tournaments where they, and they use the term celebrity golf tournament very lightly because they'd loosely, be like, hey, let's have the local sports anchor come out. And, and a lot of the times it would be with the professional, whatever professional team or teams were there, and they'd do it for a good cause and you'd play in a scramble. And I was good enough to, that every now and then they'd use one of
your balls.
Wow. So that, but the people I met through that, I still, to this day, it opened up doors professionally for me. And I made some connections and still some people who have become mentors and people who I know through those tournaments. And so
the networking is why.
The networking. Mm-hmm. And when they say all the deals are done on the golf course, it seems so ridiculous, but it's true. And a girlfriend of mine who is a big time golfer at a D1 school, works in banking, lives in New York. She said that was the ticket, her career really skyrocketed. And she said, because we would go out and play in these outings, the big bosses always wanted me to be on their team because I was really good. And that's how I got to know them. And obviously that's a huge part of, moving up in any career is if the people at the top like you and believe in you and get a chance to know you. So it was this non-work environment, work environment. And so all I will say is if you've got, whatever, it's a good skill to be able to know how
maybe
to play.
That's why I don't have a lot of friends and networking and connections. I think that's why.
Yeah, you don't have any of those. No. You have no friends and no connections and no network.
Maybe I should take up.
I do think that I like where you've evolved to, that golf is a sport.
Right.
when you're actually walking the course.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So we're good. So maybe we are going to get Tiger Woods' mom on.
Maybe we should, because I think we came full circle here. Yes. Come on.
We've evolved.
Yeah.
We've evolved. Okay. Well, we've got that checked off the list. Other things that we need to check off the list.
Bucket list.
Yeah. And I will say, we're putting this recording out. I will be hopefully on a plane, or at least sitting at a cafe with my mom, something that has been on my bucket list that I've talked about. And when the new year started, by the way, if you haven't listened to this episode, we talked a lot about one of the things we want to do on the show is help moms identify what are some things that they've always wanted to do and help them and encourage them to go do it. So
you'll be drinking Aperol Spritz.
I will hopefully be having some Aperol Spritzes with my mom. Yeah. On the Champs-Élysées.
God bless you.
When everyone is listening to this. Thank you.
Amazing.
I can't wait. I've always wanted to take a trip with my mom, and one of my best friend, Kate, and her mom, we've talked about going on trips together, and she just called me and said, "Hey, do you want to come with my mom and I to Paris?" So we're going, and I'm sure there's going to be some good stories, and I'm going to try. My mom has committed to, because she was going to, I tried to get her to come down today to record since you're here.
Right.
She said she had to pack. I think that's bullshit.
Pack for your trip in a week?
Yes. Well, she's leaving. Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Makes sense. She had to wash her hair.
She has a lot of outfits.
She's got.
For a wedding.
You should see her Paris outfits. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. It's like Emily in Paris. No, your mom in Paris.
But we're going to record with her.
Okay.
Love it. And we're going to figure out a time that works. So we're going to dial in and we're going to see if it works. But we're going to interview my mom when she's in France. And then I'll be able to, you know, write off that bottle of wine.
Perfect.
So
perfect.
Everything. Yeah, there's a method to the madness, people.
100%. Get a really expensive one that time.
And that episode, yes, that episode will come out. We're going to do a whole, the month of May
is our month.
We're going to own that month. So Mother's Day and all the content that we're going to have around May.
Jesus kind of claimed December, but May is for mom.
Belongs to your mom.
Yep.
Okay, Jesus, you can have December.
And the bunny, fine. That bunny can have April, I guess, whatever.
Jesus also claimed, you know, April, I would say.
I thought it was the bunny.
I've got a Bible upstairs and we'll go talk about that.
We got May.
Okay. So one of your bucket list items, you've already crossed off.
100%. Yep.
So tell the people.
I went to improv. Did it.
An improv class.
Exactly. Yes. Improv class. I did it 2 weeks ago, and I made Christian, Dylan, and Luke come with me. And honestly, I was sort of surprised at how not reluctant they were. They were like, okay, they were sort of into it. And then I had a little bit of a headache. So I'll be honest, I was just okay. I mean, I hate judging.
So just tell me what they did. So you go to the spot.
No one knows who you guys are. We all walked in separate. No one knew that we knew each other, that was the best part. That was so fun. And basically you start off doing warm-ups, which are kind of like drinking games, these like crazy drinking games. So
give me an example.
My kids were like amazing at it. I was like, what?
So bizarre. Where did you learn
that?
Yeah,
did they learn that? It's so weird because they are not like, it's like dumb stuff. Like you have a ball of energy and you have to pass it along,
Okay.
You have this ball and then you throw it across the room to somebody else and throw, back and forth. And I don't know, it was really funny and it was fun. And Christian was there and nobody really recognized Christian, which was good, except after somebody direct messaged him and said, "Hey, were you at improv last Thursday night?"
That's amazing.
They're like, "This is a weird question, but I think you might have been at improv." Anyway,
and that probably can you imagine though, especially if you like are you're like, "Oh my god, I was in an improv class with Christian McCaffrey."
Right, but they weren't sure it was him. I really don't think they knew. They were like, "Wait," cuz it was so out of place and out of character. But it was so fun. It was something that was not competitive. It was just fun. And
I was just going to ask you who was the best at it.
Yeah, I know. Of course, we have to judge that. So and we all said whoever's the best will buy him dinner or whatever. So at the end, we all agreed that Dylan was the best.
Really?
Bizarre. And, he was like the tallest in the room. So like eyes kind of gravitated to him. So when you're playing those games, he'd get the ball of energy a lot. Or like you had the golden cup or whatever, and he'd get the cup. For some reason, it was like, I think because he was tall and whatnot. And it was like people sort of gravitated to him. But it was just fun. And it wasn't, I hate saying great because there wasn't a gauge. But
sure.
No, it was, and there was a variety of people there, different ages and everything. And it was just really fun. So had a blast. Actually, we had so much fun that the next week they went back with a bunch of friends.
fat. I didn't tells even you go. Everything you need to know.
Yeah, I didn't even go, and they went back another time. I don't know if they'll do it too many more times, but anyway, it was fun. It was a fun. So do it. Go take an improv class. It's out of your box, probably, and something different.
And I loved it. That's what bucket list items to me are all about. Is you can do, and obviously my example was something big that I've been thinking about for many years.
Yeah, you're gonna go to Paris. No, and but shop
but
and
I
stuff.
Think the bigger ones are like class. That. But I think, and because so many times when you think about bucket list, people are like, oh God, I don't know, that's so big. Yeah. But when you actually start writing down, like, what are the things I want to do before I die? You realize like, oh, there's a lot of stuff that is very attainable that you could literally go schedule and do tomorrow.
Right. And not a lot of money. That's not an excuse. You don't need to spend money. Yeah, it's maybe some time, obviously, but.
Yep. But just to get it out of, like, yeah, a little out of your comfort zone and do it with people you love. Maybe take your mom or a friend or a kid or whoever. But I love that. So do you think you have a career in improv or?
No. Nor karaoke. No.
Oh, well.
But Dylan might.
I love that you said that Dylan was good at improv because he's tall.
He's just tall.
But I think he was the best because he was the tallest.
But I just remember the ball would always go to him or the cup would go to him. It was weird. It was like you just felt the energy.
Dylan, we love you. It was just his birthday, wasn't it?
It was just his birthday.
Happy birthday, Dylan.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah. You're good shit.
And you're really good at improv. And
you're very
good. And it's not just because you're tall. Your mom values you.
I value you because you're tall. So good job being tall. Way to go.
We knew there was going to be something that we were going to like about you.
It was going to be special.
The third kid, man. The third kid gets...
He's a middle child, but yet not really.
But that's the thing.
He was the youngest for a little bit, and then you weren't.
And then you have a baby come, and then I think three out of four. My sister, shout out to you, Brittany. She's number three out of four.
Oh, wow.
And I think there's...
Trying to figure out her place.
No, I do. I think that there's a real... We should have her come on. She's got two kids, and she's got a great sense of motherhood and how, I just think she's got a beautiful view of... some different parenting things. But I do think, and we literally talked about this on the phone when I talked to her this week, that being the third, and then you kind of look at your older siblings and what they're doing. And my older brother and I are 6 and 7 years older than her. So like we were, we got a significant head start. And then the baby, our youngest brother, Zach, comes along and she's only, 13 months older than him. They're basically Irish twins. And he sucks up a lot of air in the best way. Zach, I love you. He just became
a dad. He's an air sucker in a good way.
Yeah, he sucks all that air, but was a lot. Yeah. And so I think that dynamic of being like, okay, you got these two that sort of have figured out. And then all of a sudden, you're not the baby anymore because you got another baby right behind you that is
taking up attention. And the baby.
The baby always
gets. Right, because it's the last one.
Exactly.
You're like, I want to save her every minute of it.
And the parents are just like over. I think, you're just like exhausted from parenting probably at some point.
I'm not. I never was. What are you talking about?
I love, by the way, what we need to do? This is reminding me of this. So as many people probably who have listened to us from the beginning know, the first time that I ever interviewed you on a podcast setting was 2 days or maybe a day before I had my first kid, Collins.
That's right.
And I was guest hosting a podcast for Mike Yam. Give Me a Sense is the name of the podcast. And we got to go back and find that audio.
We should do that
as a bonus episode. You don't probably remember.
I actually don't remember very much about it.
I remember it so well, I was sitting at this table. It was in our old place, but I was sitting at this table, at the end of this table. And it was the first time I had ever really hosted a podcast, I think, on my own. And we had met a few times and I knew you were amazing. And I had all these things I wanted to ask you.
How amazing.
And when Mike asked me, he's like, dude, you were most amazing. Yes. Your voice is beautiful. But do you remember I said right before the last thing I asked you, I said, do you have any advice for me as I'm literally about to become a mom? And it was something so simple, but like I heard your voice in my head so many times in those early days of you said, just love that baby. Just hold that baby and like be, I don't remember how you said it, but be with that baby and just enjoy your baby because there's so much around, raising a baby and keeping a baby alive that is so stressful and exhausting, all those things. But when you have those moments, just hold that baby and like be with that baby. And I'm not kidding you. It sounds sort of simple, I guess, as I say it, because I'm not saying it probably as eloquently as you did, but there were so many moments, especially with Collins, that I just was able to pause and sit there. And so if you've got a little baby at home, I'm telling you,
it goes by so fast. Tired as you are, as exhausted as you are.
Enjoy those snuggles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enjoy those newborn smells. Enjoy that because you're constantly trying to get to the next once they eat solid foods, or once they can walk, or once they can
sleep
through the night, or train, there's always something more. And then all of a sudden, like,
it's gone.
You're not singing them songs anymore. And they're, you know, not even remembering that you sang them songs.
Totally. Little brats.
But just hold that baby and love that baby. So you gave me that advice. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go see if Michael let us use that audio, and we should do we'll put that out there as like a bonus episode sometime soon.
Wow. Big bonus.
Yeah. But that was that was 7 years ago. Which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
I know.
That was what an impression you made.
I'm kidding. I like hung on your every word and wrote everything down. Like, and you're like, you're like, have we met before?
What?
But yeah, I remember you saying to me, the reason that this got jogged in my memory is that you said that you were going to overparent the shit out of Luke.
Oh,
because it was his last year at home.
Oh, okay. That's what I was trying to remember where I was at the time.
I think, or maybe I think it was his junior year. Okay. So Dylan just left.
Yeah.
And so you said we saved up all of our, he didn't get any of our parenting, but now we're going to micromanage everything. I'm going to overparent the crap out of him. And I was like, yes, I love this. Because it is a different dynamic. I'm sure as you had four and all of a sudden you have three, two.
The house changes. It's so weird. Everything changes completely. Yeah. And every kid's role changes for a little bit. I remember Christian all of a sudden became the oldest in the house. Mm-hmm. And when Max left, and then he left, and then Dylan. Yeah, it's definitely each phase is a different dynamic. So embrace each one.
Okay. Embrace each one. And here's what we're going to do. What? Marissa, this for you, because you're probably finishing up whatever legal document. I don't know.
Something really important that we can't understand.
Good. And hopefully now you're tuning back into us because we're using our soft, melodious voices.
Peaceful.
We're going to sing you a little ditty to go goodnight. Okay.
This one's for you, Marissa.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
Yeah.
Up above the world so high.
Hey.
Like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Your mom is a twinkling star. We love you. Good night, everyone.